you ever heard of digital currencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and buzzwords like blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and mining? Don't know what it all means or how to get started? Well, at Let's Talk Crypto, we break it all down and eat.
All right, welcome back, listener. We're going with a little bit of a different format here coming up to Christmas. This is a very special series we're going to call the 12 Coins of Christmas. My name is Barry Moore, and with me, as always, my co-host Tom Galeski. Tom, how are you, brother?
For the 12 coins of Christmas, Barry said to me, which coins to buy?
Very good, Barry. Merry Christmas for you, mate. I know it's a little bit early, but exciting, exciting times ahead.
Yes, indeed. And that's what we're going to talk about. So the big rumor is Coinbase might be adding some new coins next year. What have you heard?
Yeah, exactly that, mate. Over this last week, Barry, the altcoins have gone pretty crazy, actually. They've been going up and up and up. So I sat back and I asked myself why. And then I've discovered there's a little bit of a rumor mill happening about Coinbase, which is at this stage the biggest exchange in the world for cryptocurrency. The rumor is that they're going to be adding some coins next year. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but on the back of Coinbase, which is, let's say, the front end of buying crypto, on the back end of Coinbase, there's another company called GDAX. Now, GDAX is more of a traditional trading platform, and they have published a white paper in November of this year, so that was last month, that goes through the criteria that a coin needs to meet in order to be listed on that exchange. So what we've got is a list that's been collated that which coins meet that criteria, which essentially means that's a potential candidate for what will be added next year. Now, we have no idea. We have no inside information. I'm going to lead straight into the disclaimer. We are not financial advisors. Take all this information as our opinions only. Do your own research. And if you invest, only invest what you're prepared to lose. But the whole idea of this 12 Coins of Christmas special is we're going to analyze some of the coins off a list to give you our opinions, our thoughts, and actually use our altcoin framework through this episode to see if we can help you guys through that decision-making process.
Yeah, that's right. And so just to highlight, we don't know what coins are going to be. Nobody really knows what coins are going to be, but we have some ideas on what we think they might be, some of the top contenders. So we're going to review some of those top contenders for you. Again, not financial advice. Do your own homework. And if you want to know how to do your own homework, go back and listen to episode 7, which is our altcoin evaluation framework episode. And there's also a free download that you can get, which is our altcoin evaluation worksheet. If you want to head over to the show notes to episode 7 or this episode, you can download that evaluation worksheet for yourself and you can do your own research and be prepared for what coins you want to get into next year.
All right, exciting stuff. Now, with a countdown to Christmas over the next 6 days, what we're going to be doing is reviewing 2 coins per day over the next 6 days, which will give us a total of 12 coins for Christmas. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be looking into Dash and Ripple, which my co-host Barry is a ninja at. He's really been studying and researching these things a lot. So, Barry, I think you're going to be doing a lot of the talking today. So how about I throw to you and you can tell me and the listeners why you think Dash and Ripple are the place to be for next year.
Yeah, all right. I'm a big fan of Dash. I'll say that right up front. And I do like Ripple as well, but for a lot of other reasons. And we'll talk about that coming up. So we might start with Dash. Both of those coins, by the way, have had a big run in the last couple of weeks at the time of recording. So Dash has just broken the $1,000 a coin barrier and has been on a tear for the last maybe 2 months or so. So what is Dash? And if you go back to the altcoin framework, you know, we've got a lot of questions to ask. There's kind of 3 major areas that we look at when we're evaluating it. One's the coin, one's the team behind the coin, and one's the market. So if you want to look at the coin, what is the coin used for? How is it different from Bitcoin? So Dash actually is a fork of Bitcoin back in 2014. It was forked and it started its life as something called Xcoin, and then it went to Darkcoin and then finally settled on the name Dash. Obviously, it's been using that ever since. But if you want to think about what's the coin used for, what's its reason, what's its purpose for existence, Dash really wants to be what Bitcoin set out to be, which is the coin that everybody can use. They want for everyday transactions. Now, Bitcoin has become super valuable. There's no question it's a store of value and a medium of exchange, but it's not really being used for everyday transactions. You're not going to go buy your groceries with it. You're not going to pay for lunch with it. The transaction fees have gotten very high, and the network has gotten quite slow when it comes to transferring coins from place to place. So there is a hole in the market for that coin or that cryptocurrency that's used in everyday transactions, just like you would use your ATM card, your swipe card. So Dash really wants to position themselves in that space, that it's the coin that your grandmother can use or your mother can use, right? So it needs to be super simple. They aim it at everybody everywhere. So the market, the addressable market for that coin is huge. And they've got some initiatives coming up that we'll talk about here shortly in a second. So it's really aimed to be the everyday coin for every person. All right. So if they want to be different to Bitcoin, how are they different? And how do they solve some of the problems that Bitcoin's having at the moment? So if you look at Bitcoin, some of the problems they've got at the moment is that they're, you know, the transaction times are slow, the fees are high, and takes a while to transfer from point to point. Now, if you look at the real reason behind kind of why transactions aren't really scalable on the Bitcoin network, it's not that that's technically not solvable. That problem is solvable. But if you know anything about Bitcoin, what you'll know is they've been arguing about how to solve that for the better part of a year. You know, should they increase the block sizes? Do we use SegWit 2X or no SegWit 2X? Do we want 1 meg block size, or do we want, you know, 8 meg block size or flexible block sizes? The problem is not that you can't solve the scalability issue. The problem is coming to a consensus about how you solve that. So Dash does this in a pretty unique way. Rather than in the Bitcoin world, you've got the miners who get all the rewards for mining all the transactions. You have fully validating nodes that safeguard the ledger and safeguard the blockchain, but they don't get any rewards. And then you've got the developers themselves who are basically either volunteers or funded by somebody else. So Dash has a different value model, in that they still have miners, they still have nodes, which they call master nodes, and obviously they still have developers. So the real difference is Dash is run like a business. So how they do that is 45% of the block rewards go to the miners, 45% of the block rewards go to the master node owners, and you need to have 1,000 Dash staked up to be a master node owner. And then the remaining 10% of the block reward goes into a treasury to fund further development of the coin. So that goes to pay developers, that goes to do marketing, that goes to run events, that goes to do anything that the masternode owners want to have happen. So I can put forward a proposal tomorrow to say I want to run an event in Sydney. I want to be funded with, you know, whatever, 50 Dash to run this event. Masternode owners can vote on that. And then in a matter of days, we have consensus on whether that project's going to go ahead or not. And then it gets funded from the treasury, those 10% treasury funds. And that's also how they decide on things like, do we increase the block size to make transactions faster? And they just put that out to the masternode owners. The masternode owners vote on it. You've got consensus in a matter of days. The developers go to work and boom, it's done in like a week. So the consensus model is really what's going to propel them forward. Plus, they have a war chest from this treasury that's going to allow them to outmarket pretty much anybody else in this game and have the stability around hiring a team of people to further develop the coin so they can pay developers. They can pay to have marketing people. You know, they've just hired a business development manager who's come over from American Express, who has years of partnership experience with American Express. So it's really run like a business. Everything is voted on by the masternode owners. So the people who stake in the network and are really deciding the way, they're just delegating that authority off to these other people like the CEO, Ryan Taylor, and the head developer strategist, Evan Duffield, the business development manager. All those guys answer to the masternode owners.
Yeah, that's awesome, Barry. I mean, it sounds like a really good pitch for Dash. And the one thing that we talk about is look at the business behind the coin. And the business sounds like it is the whole idea of cryptocurrency. It's decentralized. There's not one person in control. And the whole idea is giving the choice back to the people. Now, obviously, they make the final decision. But like you said, they've got this treasury where they can outmarket anybody. They've got this whole voting ability. So us as the people can give our opinions and thoughts and stuff. And I think that's awesome. That's what this whole decentralized cryptocurrency world's about. And the reason why we're talking about this specific coin is that we've also seen that any coin that's added to a Coinbase or any exchange, let alone the biggest one in the world, hugely spikes the value of that coin, because when people go to Coinbase to potentially buy into Bitcoin and they see it at, you know, $19,000, $20,000+, then they see these other coins at $1,000, they're going, wow, that one looks cheaper, and they go ahead and purchase it. So by bringing Dash to the forefront, I mean, it meets the criteria for what GDAX and Coinbase look at. It's got a solid company behind it. It's got a ton of cash sitting in its treasure chest. So it's ready to go. So the whole idea of us bringing these coins to the forefront out of the over 1,300 potential other coins, this is one that sort of meets all the criteria and floats the right boat. So it's a great place for you to start your research and think if this is something that you actually do want to invest in moving forward.
Yeah, and just another couple of cool features about Dash as well that I was going to mention is that, you know, they've got two other features that I find pretty cool. One of those is InstaSend. So a normal transaction might take you, I think, 2.5 minutes or something in a block transaction. But if you're at lunch and you want to pay for your lunch or you want that transaction to go through instantly, there is an InstaSend feature. So for a little bit more on the fee side, that transaction can be instantly sent within a matter of seconds, and it will show up in it very much the way a credit card works. So the transaction is validated. You know, does Tom have this amount of money to pay for lunch? Yes, he does. Okay, we'll freeze those coins and then we'll settle them in a few minutes from now. But at least the merchant knows straight away that that transaction is going to go through, and then he is happy to let you walk out of the shop. And then the other feature is private send. So if you want some more anonymity, some more privacy around who you're sending money to or who you're receiving money from, etc., there is also a private send feature in Dash as well that obfuscates who's receiving and how much they're receiving.
Yeah, that feature you're talking about, Barry, was I saw a presentation from the CEO of the company. They compared it to traditional Visa/FPOS transactions, and they split it in two. One was the authentication component to make sure that the card was legit and they had money on the account. And the second part was the money actually being transferred to the other person. So by splitting it, they could actually have two parts to that network. So what they found was what you're talking about right now, if we would go to, you know, like you said, we go out for a lunch and then we pay for it using FPOS or traditional means of payment, the terminal itself actually authorizes the transaction, but that vendor won't see that money for a couple of days. So what Dash have done, also the same style, meaning that they split that whole process into two, and that way they can use the blockchain and technologies to obviously increase that, but and still make it available for everyday use because of that speed and the performance of the blockchain. Does that sound about right?
Absolutely. So yeah. So what happens is it's just like a credit card that, you know, if you buy something for $100, the credit card company says, right, does Barry have $100? Yes, he does. Okay, let's freeze that $100 so he doesn't double spend it later. And then, yeah, on the traditional credit card system, then that settles into the merchant's account a couple of days later. But the merchant knows that, you know, essentially you're good for the money. So the merchant is essentially trusting the bank or the credit card company in that case. But in this case, you know, that trust is obviously offloaded to the blockchain. They can get instant confirmation that that will go through. But even if it's not instant send, like I said, it's much quicker and much more scalable than the Bitcoin network at the moment. So I think it's 2.5 minute block times. I might be wrong on that, but it's definitely much faster. Just normal transaction and much faster and super cheap. Like I tried to move about $150 with Bitcoin the other day, and the exchange I was trying to send it out of wanted to charge me $30. Or the wallet, actually, it was just the wallet. The wallet wanted to charge me $30 to move like $120. It was ridiculous. So, you know, when we're talking about Dash, you're talking about, you know, tiny, tiny, tiny fraction, like, you know, under sub 10 cents kind of for a normal transaction, and a little bit more for an instant send.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the time of recording, Barry, the market cap for crypto is over $600 billion. And that's ridiculous because a couple of weeks ago it was at $500. And what we're seeing, the difficulty level that happens with Bitcoin gets reviewed every 2 weeks. That's just about to happen now. And it's looking like it's going to go up by another 18% in difficulty, which means the fees are going to increase again. So, you know, these other alternatives like Dash and other payment systems, they don't have the traffic, but they've built the larger block size. Now, Bitcoin is at 1 megabyte, whereas with Dash, I believe it's 8 megabytes, which means there's 8 times more transactions all happening in the same cycle. So obviously, in theory, it's going to be at least 8 times faster outside of all the other benefits it's got. So I can see why you like it so much. It's more than just the coin or the value of the coin, and perhaps may you want to consider capitalizing on it as a long-term investment. The business seems rock solid. They're bringing a solution to the mum and dads, all that sort of wonderful stuff. And that's all we can ask for any business. So if we were to invest into Dash, it delivers on its promises. And I believe it's hitting its timelines. It's doing all that wonderful stuff that we say to look out for. So hey, listeners, it's up to you now. You can do your research. Go to coinmarketcap.com, find Dash, it's in the top 10, and use that as the official links out to their website and to their YouTube channel and all their social media, and you can learn from you know, everything Barry's just discussed now.
Yeah, and one last thing before we move off of Dash is, what's the future look like for Dash? Well, you know, they want to be the coin that everybody uses. So for all those who've been in crypto for a while, you know that it crypto is quite cumbersome to use. You have private keys, you have public keys. They're big, long strings. They're ugly. They don't really make any sense. It's quite easy to drop a letter character here and there and your transaction doesn't go through or your money disappears. So Dash has, in 2018, their big project is something called Dash Evolution, where they're going to make it as simple as possible. So you'll have like named accounts instead of, you know, big long strings of characters. You'll have named accounts like you would in PayPal. So think of a PayPal interface, type interface for crypto. So I want to send Tom some money. I don't have this ridiculously long string of characters. I just go, you know, Tom at Dash or whatever, and I can send money to that named account. You can log in. You'll have an interface very similar to PayPal where you can see accounts. You can see payments going out. You can see payments coming in. And that project's called Evolution, and that's it's already started, but it's really going to kick off in 2018. So I think 2018 is pretty bright for Dash. But again, don't listen to me. Go do your own research.
All right. So Barry, we should probably move on from Dash now because I know you love it so much. So let's talk about Ripple. Now, from my understanding, and you're going to clarify for our listeners because you're awesome at this stuff, but my understanding, Ripple essentially is bringing the crypto blockchain technology to brick and mortar or real life, the banking system. Is that right?
Yeah, so if Dash is the coin for everybody, Ripple is exactly kind of the opposite of that. It's the coin for the banking and payment sector. So it's not a traditional cryptocurrency like most of the other ones you'll find in the top 20. It's got a very specific use case, and that specific use case is for the banking and financial settlement industry. So if you know anything about the banking system, if you've ever done it, try to do an international wire transfer, like we do in Australia, sometimes we have to send money. Like last year, I had to send money to the UK to sign up for a marathon in Mongolia, of all things. But I had to do a wire transfer to send the race fees. So that had to be done from Australia to the UK. So it had to go from Australian dollars into UK pounds. And then it had to go from a bank in Australia across the borders to a bank in the UK. That is done by traditionally what's called the SWIFT network, which is probably the slowest, clunkiest technology that's still in existence. You know, it's like right up there with a fax machine or a VHS player, right? So it's this leftover banking infrastructure that takes, you know, 3 or 4 days to move your money around. The fees are crazy high, and it's just slow and clunky and terrible. So the banking system, or at least the Ripple Labs, the company behind Ripple, they aim to replace that old clunky technology from SWIFT with something more crypto-y and blockchain-y. So Ripple is not the coin for everyone. It's the coin for the banking and financial settlement industry. So you're never going to go down and buy groceries with it, for example. But things to be aware of, that it's kind of the opposite of Bitcoin, where Bitcoin is decentralized and it's open and it's permissionless. Ripple is all centralized, it's private, and it's very permission-based. So, you know, the banks are going to have to opt into this Ripple network, and they'll be able to send cross-border payments from, you know, Singapore to Australia or US to Thailand or whatever payment channels you want to do. And thing to also be aware of is that, you know, it's got a big market cap. Yeah, at the time of recording, it's got a market cap of around $30 billion up there, I think, top four. Only 30% of those coins are in circulation. 70% are controlled by Ripple itself. So in order for the banking system to want to use this thing, they're going to it can't be volatile. It can't be like Bitcoin where it swings up 30% or down 30% in a day. Otherwise, banks won't touch it, right? So it has to be stable. So they do that by only having a fairly small circulating supply and controlling the rest of it, much the way, like, you know, the oil industry is controlled, the diamond industry, or the gold industry. You know, they don't just release all that gold that they've mined on the market. They hold a bit in their diamonds and they release a bit to control the price in the marketplace. So Ripple does the same thing. So you must need to be aware there's only 30% that actually circulates in circulation for you to buy. And if you do look at buying into Ripple, you have to understand that it's completely centralized. You know, they may pull the rug out from you at some point and you'll have no say in it. But they do have some big financial partners. You know, they're partnering with people like Amex, Westpac here in Australia, New Zealand, UBS in Asia, Banco Santander in Europe. So they've got some big banking partners on board. And so instead of a SWIFT transaction taking 3 or 4 days, it takes 6 seconds. So you can see what's going on with that transaction the whole time, whereas SWIFT, it just kind of disappears into the SWIFT network and you just kind of hope it pops out the other end 3 or 4 days later. So you can see that it's very attractive to the banking sector. And if anybody's going to make this work, it's going to be the greedy banks. So it's probably not a bad coin to have a look at and maybe get onto if you think it matches your investment criteria. But do your homework, as always, and make your own decisions.
Yeah, Barry, I suppose with Ripple, I mean, it's almost anti-crypto, meaning that the whole idea of this, you know, crypto and blockchain is to decentralize. So there's not one person in control, whereas Ripple's the opposite. So I think what happens is in this whole crypto world where it's anti-banks and anti-this, that it maybe polarizes the audience a little bit. And there's a lot of people that hate on Ripple because it doesn't sort of fit that criteria of being an anonymous decentralized style coin. But on the flip side, you can see in the real world and real world adoption that they have actually made some announcements. They have signed up these new partnerships. They actually have customers. They are actually making money on this. So from an investment point of view, it looks good. But on the flip side, you know, people don't invest into Ripple because it just doesn't meet the criteria for no other reason but just to be spiteful.
Good point, Tom. See, if you're into the libertarian aspects of cryptocurrency, you know, freedom to the people, screw the banks, Ripple is absolutely not the coin for you, right? So if it's a conscience-based decision as opposed to a financial-based decision, you might want to have a really close look at how Ripple works and who's behind Ripple. But if you're looking at, you know, if this was a company on the stock exchange, it would be worth investing in my particular world, my particular point of view. Again, that's just me. It's just a guy talking about stuff. So, you know, I think if you're looking at it as a company to invest in, I think it's a good idea, but it's certainly not your traditional crypto for sure. To sum up, the first two coins of Christmas were Dash, which aims to be the coin with widespread adoption that your grandmother uses. Its symbol is exactly that, Dash. And the second one was Ripple, symbol is XRP. And that's kind of almost the opposite end of the spectrum, which is that aims to be the coin or the technology that banks and financial settlement companies used to do cross-border settlements in real time, replacing the SWIFT network. So have a look at those two. Get on to CoinMarketCap. Head over to the show notes. All the information will be there, and you can start your research, and you can download your altcoin evaluation worksheet from there as well.
All right. So listeners, that's the first two coins for our 12 Coins of Christmas special. We'll be publishing the entire list and all the show notes, of course, in our School of Crypto group on Facebook. So be sure to go to Facebook, do a search for that. Request access will get you in there straight away. So we'll be sharing all of our little ins and outs inside that private group. So we'd love to see you there on the inside. As always, we are not financial advisors. Please take all this information as our opinions only. Do your own research. And of course, if you do decide to invest, only invest what you're prepared to lose. So that brings this episode to an end. If you have any questions, please head over to theschoolofcrypto.com and leave your comment or feedbacks. In the meantime, we would love if you could subscribe and share. That helps our show get a wider reach and more people can get involved in Bitcoin and digital currency. Having said that, if you're interested in more up-to-date news and events and coin talk, come and join our private Facebook group, as I mentioned earlier. Link will be in our show notes. Go to Facebook, do a search, and we'll see you tomorrow for our next two coins as part of our 12 Coins of Christmas special.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Crypto Podcast. You can find the links, show notes, and all the latest cryptocurrency news over at schoolofcrypto.com.